for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century. We are on every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Tonight, it's hosted by Tamara Wickma. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to the practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. And tonight, we are continuing on our segments on love and social justice. We have been talking about this the last few weeks, bringing this different dynamic to the way that we look at love. We think about love in the romantic ways or with our family, and this is a wonderful time to be thinking about love in that way since we are upon the holiday season. But I want to bring into the awareness of many people that are listening and to the KCFR family that there are social justice movements that we could be as much in love with, because it really requires that of us to find a place of love and passion, compassion for people that are struggling. And that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to start the conversation around. So I'm so pleased to have Guillermo Mash joining me in the studio talking about Youth for Justice and all the amazing work that he contributes to this community of ours and beyond. So stay tuned for a very full and captivating hour talking about love and social justice. First, we are going to be listening to a song by Gork Burns, which I will have Guillermo share a bit more about when we come back.
No. Mean people are scared people. This fear turns into greed, apathy, and violence. If you're privileged to have a home, food, resources, you can afford to be greedy from the comfort of your home. You can afford to be apathetic and ignore the suffering humans who have less. You can afford to be violent and let the homeless know that they're not wanted. With the phone call to the police who are given permission to harass, with the anti-camping ordinance. What are you afraid of? People with houses. Your brains may have been indoctrinated with the individualistic, capitalistic programming that tells us we need to prove our worth and compete for resources, but you still have a heart with the capacity for kindness. Please open it up and see that it's cruel and unusual punishment to make it illegal to sleep in public and criminalize behavior that we would have to engage in to simply live if one day we lost everything. There's people freezing to death because of exposure. People are being crushed by garbage trucks because their shelter was the dumpster. The traumatized walk around incurring more trauma because there is no place of safety. They sleep outside because they've no place to go. They leave their stuff behind because there's no place to put it. They go to the bathroom outside because there is no bathroom. The fear of being inconvenienced leads to prejudice and irrational harassment. The fear of not having enough resources turns into desperate attempts to get fed. Poverty is the worst form of violence, so why keep defending a system that promotes it? Fight the system by letting go of fear and holding on to kindness. The way I see it, the issue isn't with the homeless. It's with the community who uses alienation to quote-unquote solve it. And I repeat, poverty is the worst form of violence. So why keep supporting a system that promotes it? Fight the system by letting go of fear and holding on to kindness. Fight the system by letting go of fear and holding on to kindness. Let's start by giving the homeless resources.
Welcome back to Love in the 21st Century. I am Tamara, and we are talking with Guillermo Mash about love and social justice. Thank you so much, Guillermo, for joining us.
Thanks for playing that. I always love to hear that. That was by Gork, Courtney Burns. And you're going to hear another piece from her later in the show. I went up and interviewed her in Arcata about a year and a half ago at her where she lived up there. But she really wanted to get her voice out there about the system. She talks a lot about the system, but she was someone that was a runaway, quote-unquote, troubled youth. I don't know what other label to put on that. But she went through the foster care system, and she just has a wonderful, wonderful interview that we'll hear later in the show.
Great.
So that's a little bit about Gork Burns, a little bit about myself that people may not know me. My name is Guillermo Mash. I'm an independent journalist, activist. I don't know exactly what I am. I'm a human being, mostly. But I've done a lot of work around poverty, the worst form of violence. The theme of that song actually is my motto for Without a Roof. I do a blogging under the name of Without a Roof. I've done a lot of visual journalism, written word, moving images and sound around tangibly helping people experiencing homelessness while giving them a face and a voice. And we're going to hear to talk about Youth for Justice, right?
Yes, absolutely. That
wonderful program that we got going. And
yes.
I can give you a little backstory on that. So Youth for Justice, you know, maybe I should color the story a little bit. I literally was a runaway homeless youth. There was no such term as homeless in 1976. I was a runaway. I was a runaway from an emotionally and physically abusive home. You know, I've kind of reconciled with my parents, but the bottom line is, you know, I lived on the streets of Boston for 3 months, and I can still remember, Tamara, coming home. My mom, she used to ground us for like a month if you got a D in conduct, and the whole term if you got an F. And I knew I was going to get a C, so I was kind of like goating her a little bit. So I came home. You know, there's a lot of other things on top of this, but I came home, and I said, Mom, I got a C. And she said, you're grounded anyway. And I can remember thinking in my head, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. And I walked out the door the next day. I walked out 30 miles straight to Boston with about $90 in my pocket. And, you know, I lived on the streets there 3 months. So when I see homeless youth, I have a connection to it, a physical, visceral connection to it. I'm not a hypothetical person per se. Usually I like to experience it. And that's something I experienced as a young man. I mean, I was sexually assaulted. I had to go through the whole kind of drama of sleeping in places that you probably don't want to sleep. A little more dire in Boston when the temperatures are below zero. But, you know, I actually stayed on the streets of Boston, living in one room, SROs, back when they had SROs.
What are SROs?
Single room occupancy. So I literally, as a 16-year-old, and I've talked a lot with the youth that I've friended in Chico and beyond, I'm kind of like, I'm upset about justice-wise for what's going on for you guys, because literally, when I was a young man, if you wanted a job, you got a job. I was a 16-year-old runaway, Tamara. And I worked at a day labor job. I had enough money to be able to, you know, go in on an apartment. The whole night, I mean, you were able to physically find shelter. But a lot of those, quote unquote, single room occupancy, which were developed for low income people. Single room occupancy is literally, I was on the sixth floor and there was like 10 apartments with one bathroom at the end. You had like a little food plate. The fuses were blowing all the time, but you had some place to be,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, I have that background, but I led the quote unquote typical life, you know, raised a family, had a really good job at Hewlett Packard, you know, had the golf club membership, the whole nine yards. But I had a similar story at 52. I actually walked out the door with a little bit different journey, you know, experiencing homelessness while giving it a face and the voice. So to fast forward a little bit to the whole Youth for Justice experience. Just because I think it's such a cute story.
It's so important, though, to the work that you do. I mean,
cute stories are important.
Right.
But
captivating.
Captivating, cute stories. Mm-hmm. I was actually on this show before I became a programmer, like a year and a half ago, with Adam, one of my I know that I tell people not to bang, and I'm mm-hmm. banging. With Adam Du Bois, and I had actually been locked out of my Facebook account like a month earlier. I used to be without a. Was my name, Roof. That was my name. Facebook locked me out. And I'm in here and we did a whole interview. It was about Youth for Justice, mm-hmm. actually. It was about the Poor People's Film Festival we were doing,
right.
promoting youth here mm-hmm. in Chico. And then you said, Tamara, I think it was Tamara, says, well, I really like that name. You should keep it. And I'm like, well, I will. I'll keep that name. So you're either responsible or to be thanked for coming up. Let me pick Gammo and stick with it.
But yeah, I will take all the credit. I will openly receive any credit or responsibility for the name Guillermo Mash. I like it.
But that ties to the story. So we actually had Adam in here, and we talked about, you know, some of the things he was experiencing on the street as a youth, early 20s. But that actually, the Poor People's Film Festival was a film that I put together. I do what's called vignettes. It's called microblogging, where you take short little focus points throughout the communities that you're in. And I've been out through an entire Northern California. So I had all these clips, anywhere from like probably an average length of 2 minutes, but anywhere from like a minute and a half minute to like 7 or 8 minutes. But I decided, Tamara, instead of sitting at a computer and coming up, you know, quote unquote, editing it all into a particular movie, I decided to do a film festival and just take the vignettes and put them together.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with 43 vignettes that were picked, targetedly picked, to tell the story of homelessness. There's some veins on youth homelessness, a little bit on drug addiction, housing, the lack of jobs. So it flows like a story, mm-hmm. and it plays about an hour and 45 minutes. But we had one of the most coolest experiences. We showed that film at 100th Monkey, back when 100th Monkey was still in business down there on 6th, I think it's 6th. 5th. But anyway, it was a packed house, and it was really cool. It was about 40, 45 people there. We had, you know, unaccompanied youth, people from the homeless community, leaders, executive director of the housing authority was there, a whole bunch of people. But the movie went over so well, it died halfway through, and people still clapped.
Wow.
And then when I talked to Jennifer Barsley a few days later, she said, I can't remember exact words, Tamara, but she said to the effect, that was such a neat vibe in that room. It was like community coming together, you mm-hmm. know, as one. So we did that film festival in like January of 2014. I'm trying to get the years right, 14. But after that, the whole theme was youth homelessness, ending youth homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to end homelessness, house every single homeless youth now. So I had this idea, and fortunately, I was able to bring it to fruition with the wonderful Chica Peace of Justice Center, 526 Broadway. Olivia Schmidt was there at the time as well with Araminta. But I approached them late spring and said, I'd like to do like a program here that covers the time when 6th Street is closed for staff time. So 6th Street's open normal business hours except for Wednesdays. They're physically open from noon until 5 on Wednesday. So we had this program that we started in May of 2015 that literally provided a place for youth to come. And we did some problem solving. We had an intern program where we were able to pay youth, you know, 1 hour's worth of work once a week, two different people doing that. But some of the stories, it was just the most amazing experience, Tamara, was I see this person all the time in the community, and I hug her so dearly because it was just the most amazing, great happenstance. There was a young couple here in Chico that I knew that literally lost their kids because they were homeless. And there was this wonderful angel that literally came forward, and you can't make up, you know, the truth is much better than fiction. She's retired. She was retired from the foster care system as a nurse, and she knew the people in this office. And the short story is, you know, I gave her a hug like 3 weeks ago, and I said, you know, if it hadn't have been for you, she wouldn't have got her kid back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to help people understand, there was one comment that she made as she kind of assessed the situation. So about after meeting with the couple two, three times, she said to me, I'll never forget it, Tamara, she said, If this couple wasn't poor, this never would have happened to them. Because
wow.
They had no legal representation. They really had no way. They're young. They're kind of like wild-eyed. But they were able to get their kids back. So there was a whole bunch of other little cool little stories like that. But we ran that program at the Peace and Justice Center. And then 2016 rolled around. And I think you actually attended that. For Lisa Parter, I did a whole major Poor People's Palooza and Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Covered on the CNR and the ER, both on front page. But we literally, it was, try to get the right way to frame this. I literally had a whole thing. It was called the Palooza, and we were going to do some of my films, a whole youth spoken word and performances, acts around town, and then the last thing was a panel with Tammy Ritter, executive director of the Housing Authority, Ed Mayer. The VA was there and everything else, but Tamara, man, I had it held like cards to my chest. I'm like, I hope I don't have to show that many films because the youth take the time. And we had, out of all the different things I've done, that's the most amazing time. It was like 90 minutes. And I still remember. You know, Gork actually wrote that song for that event. Anyway, it was very emotional for me to do that. And I had youth coming up to me, you know, crying, you know, mm-hmm. and I had one of the youth that said she didn't want to be part of it, came up to me all excited, "Do you think I can play?" And it was just such a beautiful, beautiful experience. So after that, a little bit like I did in 2015, I said, what could we do more? Because I didn't really see the issues not getting any better for youth homelessness in mm-hmm. regards to outcomes. I mean, we've got services in place, and I think people get confused with services in place, but not nearly enough services. So after I did the 2016 Palooza, I said, okay, what can I do this time? And what was a real blessing, it was amazing to do this for 5 months, 4 months. But I work with the Peace and Justice Center again. I can't say enough. We're going to be promoting them big time. I'm going to be on the radio Friday. But I worked with Stephen Trudy, who does Ecotopia. He was kind of like a point person, Araminta, and the board there. But we secured the night, starting in June. So I still had the day program, Youth for Justice. But we secured the night to have a nighttime program that we would provide a safe place for youth and have workshops and a place they could come and be a person, you know, mm-hmm. be who they are. And we started that program in June. And it was amazing. We did a couple of open mics. We had Kevin Killian come in and Foxy Jeff. And we just had some really, really cool experiences. But a lot of things that it cemented for me was just to be going there every Wednesday. Pretty much my whole Wednesday revolved around that and another day of the week getting prepared. But it really opened my eyes to just how dire the situation is and how important it is for them to have a place to be. You know, and I heard people in and out of the center. You should know by now I'm not very shy. Mm-hmm. They're like, all these youth are doing is just hanging around, just hanging out. I'm saying, yeah, they're hanging out. I mean, they need a place to be.
Right.
But I just saw such an opening and an outpouring of love and compassion through that. But I'm using the compassion word because, Tamara, man, I'm telling you, when I talked about doing that Poor People's Film Festival in January, in 2015, mm-hmm. it was the toughest time I've had from a compassion fatigue perspective until this summer, and that was editing the audio. I mean, I've been involved with a lot of these people's lives. I'm not a guy that jumps out of the car, shoots a video, goes off to Starbucks, and moves on his way. I know a lot of these stories. I'd be listening and watching it, going, oh, just knowing some of the backstories and things that have happened. It was devastating to me. I took the whole winter off after doing the Palooza and the film festival. I said, I'm not going anywhere I've ever been, and I came to KZFR. I said, I want to get connected with KZFR. Well, lo and behold, I literally had to walk away from doing Youth for Justice from compassion fatigue. It was killing me. Maybe that's probably not, if I had something that I could have read, I might not have used the word kill because it wasn't quite, you know,
that can be part of the experience of what it's like to be working with people that are, you know, in crisis all the time. And so you're taking on a lot of their pain. So not only just the pain of one person, but the pain of many people whose lives you're sharing with them.
Yeah, and you know what, Tamara, that's a really good point. But I think what really compounded it for me, and I do work that's not easily replicable or maybe not replicated anywhere else in the country. I do both. I do journalism plus I help people. And it really was that whole journalism piece that was devastating because you have to sit down and you have to write. It wore me out. Mm-hmm. It literally wore me out so bad that I had to walk away from the program. And it also wore me out so bad that I was having a hard time being creative. I was having a hard time being happy. And Carrington, shout out to Carrington Scott Forbes, when I told him my decision, I said, you know, I've been talking a lot to you about taking care of yourself. And I said, I'm at the point where I'm thinking I'm a hypocrite because I'm not taking care of myself. And I tell you, Tam, I'm not even kind of taking a thermometer or anything, but I'm just telling you, a month later, I'm like, this was the right thing to do. I just really, I had to let it go. And God bless the Peace and Justice Center because they're doing some things. I don't want to talk about what they're doing, but they've picked the ball up. You know, I'm sure there'll be some conversations around. I don't want to. These are all kind of third party conversations. But Emily did announce that one thing that wasn't third party. Emily Alma announced that they're going to have a whole session at the beginning of the year that's going to be hosted by Carrington, and they're going to do, you know, maybe like the integral wheel, but they're going to have people can come in from the community and have youth describe what it's like to be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so freaking jazzed at that when she said it at the. They had a vigil for youth homelessness here in, at the Muni building last week. So I went up and thanked Emily for that. But where Youth for Justice is now, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, because it's one of I'm always, my brain always kind of worked like to compartmentalize. What kind of show is this one? How did I like it? But there was just so much joy. I actually did the first Youth for Justice show. It became a monthly. So Youth Without a Roof has been running for first Thursdays for over a year now. It moved to every Wednesday at 5, and I took that slot. I took that first Thursday, 6 to 7, and we're doing Youth for Justice. But I had it was liberating just doing just different types of social justice work and giving voices to all sorts of people. And we had Mark Alexander, who's been part of Telebration. He came in to talk about his housing search. We had she's kind of like a co-host. I mean, I shouldn't say that because she hasn't said she's a co-host. But Alex Kokonakis, he's a lecturer and used to work with Ted. Remember when Ed was in here for his last show? She's mm-hmm. the one who called in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's a lecturer at Chico State. We did this whole really cool video on bioneering, and she came in with one of her students to talk about bioneering. And perhaps the most poignant, it was like prescient, because it was like the last Thursday before the election, but we had Maddie Gruber from Inspire High came in to talk about Sojourn to the Past,
mm-hmm.
which is a racial justice program started in Northern California that takes youth on a 10-day journey to the South. And she gets to meet Representative Lewis and just all these different Southern leaders. And she goes, I keep saying she, that's a whole group of students that go back there. But she's going to be going in June. She goes spring break. Let me get the facts straight. She goes spring break, comes back, graduates from Inspire. But it was just so neat to see, you know, her so happy. Her dad was in here. But one thing I remember about the interview that really stuck with me, I talked about how it's so nice that, you know, nice wasn't the word I used, but it was like, it's so wonderful that you're being able to go back and see things, because I don't think they teach enough of it in high school. And she was like, yeah, maybe a paragraph or two.
Mm-hmm.
And that upset me as a human being, Tamara. I'm kind of going, a paragraph or two on the whole issue of racism and slavery? I mean, it's not well taught in the
right.
school systems, these justice issues. I think it's just wonderful that there's an opportunity for youth to go back and participate in that program. So now I'm producing a monthly show to do Youth for Justice, and we're having a ball with it. I did this whole interview with Chico Tiny House Club.
So the Youth for Justice radio show that's on KZFR mm-hmm. is happening once a month?
Once a month.
Once a month, and it's on, what'd you say?
It's on first Thursday, 6 to 7.
First Thursday, 6 to 7.
Yeah, and that tagline is, if you want peace, you have to work for justice.
Yes.
I love that quote.
I like it. So are there youth that are involved for the Youth for Justice space there at the Chico Peace and Justice Center that are also involved with the radio programming?
No. When I did Without a Roof, Carrington Scott Forbes, who was an intern, take a step back. He actually worked there. A heart program provided him homeless emergency action response team. So he actually was a major portion of the Wednesday morning program. But long-winded, he was the music producer for the Without a Roof show for about 6 months. It was really, really cool. But maybe to answer the direct question is, no, not directly. This
mm-hmm.
this is really just a spin-off. So when I kind of had my, you know, I have to step away, I said we're kind of refocusing, relaunching Youth for Justice as a social media radio platform
mm-hmm.
to provide a voice to different social justice issues. I've got some footage in the can. I think we'll hear that later
mm-hmm.
about from Carriers of the New Story. It's a Butte Environmental Council program that physically takes youth in Chico State, Butte College, and they put them through this leadership class, which is just awesome. I know you and I got to, you were at a separate one, but it was a 6-week class. I got to go once as a peacemaker,
mm-hmm.
and I had a wonderful interview with them where they were cleaning up and getting stuff for the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I've got a whole production schedule now that we're doing that. We do short little videos. We forward promote with videos And then we bring youth into the studio to talk about justice issues.
Where do you find the youth?
You know, that's been a blessing. I'm pretty connected in Chico now. I've been here 4 years, pretty connected with them.
So they find you?
Or vice versa. No, yeah. No, I wish it was that way. Yeah, I wish it. No, I just know who to reach out to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't had the, no, so I'm mostly reaching out, but I know that I have enough connections where I can kind of go, this looks cool.
Great.
I always got my eyes and ears open.
So what would you say is the underlying principle then for Youth for Justice, the radio platform that you have created?
To provide, you know, hope and the passion and the love for youth to be able to get excited about things and do things in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been around a while. I've been around the sun a few times, but the things I've been involved with that have been brilliantly successful are people are happy and engaged and positive while they're doing it. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, not to drag this into activism in general, but there's just so much times where everyone thinks it needs to be miserable because that's just the way it is. And I'm like, well, no, it's not. It doesn't have to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's miserable, people aren't going to be showing up happy and engaged, and they're probably going to quit.
Right.
So it's the whole idea of getting people energized.
Right.
You know, and some people say I have an ability to energize mm-hmm. people. And in fact, I always got to come up with these quotes. I was in 6th Street with Jennifer Barzi, who runs the program over there. It's been there since it opened. I said, you want to know what I'm excited about? She says, well, you're always excited about everything. I'm like, well, thank you. Oh, I am. I'm really excited about this one. I don't even remember what it was. But I think that's important, that people are excited and they're engaged and they see that their work is valued.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably been the most beautiful thing about the work that I do, is following up with people after I've, you know, done their little pieces and mm-hmm. they've been able to see either photos or written word or even the radio interviews.
Absolutely. So you aim to inspire.
I aim to facilitate
mm-hmm.
to as much as I can. I just want to give them the space and the voice so they can come on the radio. You know, it's fun bringing the youth on because, like Tanner's, I think we'll have time to play that one. He Tanner is a youth that's part of Carries of the New Story, but he came on to talk about bioneering. And then one of the first things he says, it wasn't nearly as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Right.
But I don't know, you probably experience it as well. But when people come in the studio, you're kind of like looking to see if they look anxious or, you know.
Yeah.
Because it can be kind of daunting, you know, if you've never been on the radio.
Absolutely. And I mean, to be completely honest and transparent, there's not many times that I'm not nervous or anxious about going on the air. Mm-hmm. It's usually about, you know, 5 or 10 minutes into the show that I'm like, okay, I know what I'm doing. And it gets easier with time, but I can understand that feeling. And you start to notice it a lot easier on other people because you notice that you're not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, do you want to play one of these videos for folks where they can get an idea of some of the work you're doing?
I'd like to play, yeah, let me come over here. And people powered radio person getting out of their seat.
Oh, someone's getting out of their seat. So if you're just tuning in, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, and you are listening to Love in the 21st Century. I am Tamara, and I'm here with Guillermo Mash, and we are talking about love and social justice. We are about to share with you a video clip from one of Guillermo's pieces from Youth for Justice. If you want to join our conversation, feel free to dial 895-1114. That will get you on the air, 895-1114. We can also be listened to on kzfr.org. And we are playing now.
So we're here with Kelly from Carriers of the New Story. Welcome, Kelly. It's KZFR and Youth for Justice program.
Thanks, Bill.
What are we doing out here today, Kelly?
Well, simply we're picking up trash from the creeks, but we're also bringing together a group of young students from Chico State and Butte College, and actually a few from Wildflower Elementary, to come together and use the spirit that they have to help make our community a better place mm-hmm. and to do it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of the youth are really enjoying, you know, having some place to get together as a community and do things that they want to do and they really have a heart for.
Yep.
Matt, I'm here with Theo from, what is the name of the group?
Carriers of the New Story.
That's awesome, man. This is your first time doing this?
Yep.
What are you out here doing today, Theo?
We're picking up trash, making sure we can get this place a lot cleaner. I honestly didn't think it'd be that dirty when I came, but shoot. You see, I got a full bag.
You got a full bag already? You've only been out here like 20 minutes,
full
right?
Bag. Everybody around me has full bags. You see, it's not just me doing this. We got a whole little group of people trying to spread the word and spread change.
All kinds of stuff, you know?
You got all kinds of stuff? What's your name, man?
That I don't want fish to eat. JT.
JT, man, thanks for coming out here.
I do what I can.
What do you think about Carrie's in the new story, man?
I love it. It brings people together. It establishes community. It gives us something to socialize on that we all feel. And it's really a struggle to try and better the community. Maybe do a few things here and there to help the environment and mitigate, you know, any kind of issue that we can all collaborate on and find within ourselves something that we can all do. That's what we're doing. We're getting together to empower ourselves.
I don't believe in any quote more than be the change you want to see. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just out talking about change and no one's seeing you doing it, how are they supposed to follow?
Park, man. And Tanner, man, to me, you were disguised. You had that wonderful headband on. I'm like, was this the guy that was on Youth for Justice or what, man? How was your experience, man, on the radio talking about bioneering and being a student at Chico State?
It was super cool. It was not near as scary as I thought it would be being on the radio. And it's great just to be with people who care and to get to talk about things that are actually important to me and to bring those messages into the community, especially as it concerns young people, I think was really important. I love being a part of it.
So people that might not have listened, what are your concerns, Tanner?
I mean, right now we're all thinking about the Dakota Access Pipeline, but, you know, me and my my classmates at school were thinking about, you know, how to make our campuses more sustainable, how to make our learning environment you know, more accepting to sustainability ideas and talking about, you know, the issues like climate change and that sort of thing on our campuses.
Yeah. All right. Some video clips from some work with the Youth for Justice. Guillermo, you want to explain to us a little bit what we were listening to?
Yeah. So what was cool, the first one was Kelly Munson. And I'm not entirely sure of her whole backstory. I know you and her are good friends. That's all I need to know about her backstory, because that makes her...
Kelly Munson is an amazing community activator. She works for Butte College, but she also just does so many amazing things in this community, trying to help this place be more of a village than just a bunch of people living in the same place.
But she immediately impresses me as someone that I want to work with, because she's just got this positive kind of like, we're doing it kind of attitude.
Yes.
But that she was the one that kind of was the first person that spoke about cleaning up, quote unquote, picking up garbage. But those were the carriers of the new story. That was a, like I mentioned, it was a leadership program that they had put together, and they were actually at Lost Park, otherwise known as the jungle over there off of Second. A good second, yeah, Second Street. But there was just some of the youth there that were physically, you know, doing some of the works. So I put together a snappy little typical without a roof in yet. But I got to interview a couple of the youth, and they were just brilliant. Well, you just heard them on the radio. They just had such a passion about what they were doing and such a need to get involved in community engagement that was helping them to make the place a better place to be. And so it was wonderful. And the other clip was just kind of fun, because Tanner was one of the first guests on the Youth for Justice program. And the fun backstory on that is his hair down to here. I used to have hair really, really long, but he had it all.
He's pointing to his shoulders.
He's pointing
for
to my shoulders. Yes,
that's listening.
Sorry. Thank you for helping me with that. But I see this kid that looks somewhat like him, but he's got his hair up. And I didn't think of it. He said, "You don't recognize me, do you?" And I said, "Is that Tanner?" You know. So anyway, we had that neat little interview where he kind of talks about his first experience physically being on the radio. So those were just two of the clips. We've got a couple more in production. We just produced one that we released that, once again, Alex was involved with, Claudia Manis, and she's going to be on the Youth for Justice program next month, all about Tiny House Club. It was awesome how it's going to be going down to Habitat for Humanity and ending up at 14 Forward, but she kind of explained all of the wonderful work that they're doing.
Tiny House Club?
Yeah, there's a Tiny House Club on Chico State campus.
What does that mean? What do they do?
Initially, as I understand the backstory, they initially got the club started so they could enter a tiny house competition in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bunch of colleges that entered, and they won some awards.
Nice.
And now the club, from the experience they had, Claudia announced it in the clip, they're going to be looking at doing another tiny house and donating it to Habitat. So they're all excited.
Mm-hmm.
So all these kids that were involved in this, you could just tell by interviewing her. She was just so excited for the work that she had done.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that. And then I'm really happy, too, on the that'll be on the December show, first Thursdays. But we're going to be bringing in some youth. And I'm working with Lupita Aram Law, who is part of the Democratic Action Club. But she's been reaching out to some youth. We're going to have a whole segment about youth's responses to the results of the election.
Mm, wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be powerful.
That one, yeah. I'm going to reach out to my niece and do it too. Speaking of nieces, the other one that's just a beautiful story. I went back for my dad's funeral. That in and of itself isn't a beautiful story, but you don't get to see family that often. So I'm sitting at the table with my daughter and probably my future daughter-in-law and my niece, and this is the day we check out of the hotel, and so they're telling stories. But both my niece and my future daughter-in-law were both brought to this country by someone that came in without quote-unquote papers.
Right.
And her dad came. I actually have this one in the can, this wonderful, she's Talia Federico. I know maybe you're not listening, but she's just one of the most beautiful people I've ever met. But she came via her dad, actually came once or twice on a raft and was turned away. Mm-hmm. And then Maria, I feel bad, I can't think of her last name, but Maria actually is of Mexican descent, and the same kind of story.
Mm-hmm.
They came here for a better life, and I thought it was really, really important that we humanize this issue, because there's right. so many crazy terms associated with human beings that come to this country.
Right, and to bring the awareness to what it's like. I mean, like you said, he came to this country twice on a raft. Like, the amount of time that it took for him to travel that far, and the perseverance and the commitment to the unknown, the reality that he had been turned away once. Just to imagine that sort of fortitude that one would have within themselves to do that. Like, I don't think that we often take a pause to really think what it would be like, what it would take an individual, what circumstances would propel someone to put themselves in that situation. You know, we think, you know, just like cut and dry often about experiences or about immigration or issues that are being presented to us right now, but we don't really pause to like think about the lives. And so what's really beautiful, I think, about what you do, Guillermo, is that you bring that into the light. You tell the stories. You bring the stories to life of what people are experiencing, as this young woman that you're describing, what her life was like. This is her life that was founded on this individual who, you know, put his life at stake to bring a possibility to his family. And I think that's more of what people need to hear. They need to see the realities behind these, you know, cut and dry issues, or so they think that they are.
Yeah, and then I think there needs to be the humanity of just to hear it from the younger voice. She's 22, 23, but she's a medical professional at Johns Hopkins. She's got a master's from the University of Florida. She's as sharp as a tack.
Right.
And I mean, that is people come to this country because they want to contribute. So I thought it was really, really important to give the, you know, a face and a voice around that. But I really liked the whole vein that you were discussing about people don't take time to think about the circumstances. It's the same thing as me as a runaway.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear that a lot about the youth. Oh, he just ran away from home. He could just go back. Let's think, wait a minute here. The kid decided to live under a bridge for a week. You know, there's probably something going on here, right?
Right.
You know, instead of minimizing it, you know, kind of making it this infamous bad choice when the person has absolutely no idea what this youth has gone through.
Right.
This is not something you wake up, you know, out of your warm and comfy bed going, I just want to go homeless today.
Right.
You just don't do it.
There's usually circumstances.
I've talked to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Next time someone tells you homeless people are homeless by choice, ask them why only poor people make that choice.
It's a good question.
It is.
Thought-provoking. Thank you, Guillermo. So, you know, this is Love in the 21st Century, and we like to bring that perspective of love, and you've been definitely weaving it into your explanation of Youth for Justice and your personal story. But I want to ask you more directly, in your experience with doing your work with Youth for Justice, where is the love in your practice, in your recording, but also just in your personal experience? Where do you see love?
I see I have a poem.
Okay.
I'm going to do a poem.
Okay, perfect.
And I'm really into poems because I went to a friend of mine had a poetry party, and this is a poem that I was
poetry
thinking,
party.
A
that's...
poetry party. A lot of P's there. Poetry yeah. party. But this is, to answer your question, what is love? Love is, ... is the title. Love is fleeting. Love is blind. Love ain't a metaphor. Love is kind. Love lifts up. Love knows no bounds. Love ain't a metaphor. Love astounds. Love thy neighbor, love thy child. Love's not a command. Love is smiled. Love life, love food. Love's not a command. Love is gratitude. Love is kind. Love astounds. Love springs gratitude. Love is dot, dot, dot.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some words I put together, I think, for a post. I throughout my time of doing posts, sometimes I write a poem. But I wrote a poem, and I mean, Tolstoy has my favorite quote of Tolstoy is, where love is, there God is also.
Right.
So I really focus on that, you know, being as present as I possibly can for people to show kindness and just acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's in my DNA. I get excited. I could talk to anyone about anything as long as they're, like, passionate about it. But I really do have, it's in my heart just to kind of reach out and, you know, help people realize that they are special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing I would tell the listening audience, don't consider homeless youth as broke. There's all these horrible labels and triggers. Homeless youth ain't broken. They're heroes. We came up with this after Carrington Scott Forbes. We were on the Without a Roof show like last summer, and I'm like, I'm listening to these stories going, why are people framing this as anything other than a hero? I'm listening to this kid's story. He graduated from high school here in Chico, living, he got caught, thrown out of his house. The principal was kind of wink, wink, letting him sleep in his truck. I mean, if you start to sit down with these youth and understand what they're dealing with, they're absolutely heroes.
Mm.
Absolutely heroes. So I'd say folks that want to get involved to try to make a difference is just come up to people and talk to people and accept them for who they are, and you'll help them to become who they hopefully will be someday.
Right.
You know? So it's been a real blessing for me, you know, working with the young folks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really. It brings me a lot of hope and strength. Mm-hmm. I don't think we tend to focus way too much on the negative stuff. There's a lot of cool people walking around Chico. Most of the people walking around, by the vast majority of people walking around Chico, are really cool people, and youth included.
Mm-hmm.
But does that answer your question?
It does answer my question. But I guess what I'm hearing in your answer is that there isn't maybe that much of a presence of love, except from your direction of trying to infuse the Youth for Justice with love, knowing that they are loved, knowing that they are accepted, but that maybe there seems to be sort of this dark shadow that's cast on youth that are living on the streets by, you know, organizations or police agencies or whoever is sort of like deeming them as something as that needs to be fixed. And so that's what it sounds like. It's sounding like there needs to be more love that could be poured into that direction. And one of my follow-up questions was going to be about, like, you know, what would be one of the main ingredients to this type of love? And it sounds like you've answered that question in terms of, like, just acceptance and empowerment.
Yeah, well, I feel really blessed because you get all these stereotypes. I can say emphatically I was there 95 times out of 100 for all of these Youth for Justice. We never had an incident, you know, where we, you know, quote-unquote an incident. I mean, we just treated people as if they were human beings, and we treated them as if they were special, and which they are, and it makes a huge freaking difference. I mean, that's what a lot of the youth said. They said it's really, really cool. Some of the comments I got towards the end of the summer program was really, really neat. That we could just come in here and be ourselves.
Right.
Because it's kind of nice. The Chico Peace and Justice Center was a really nice space for youth in that it, quote unquote, wasn't a place that they were going because they might be perceived as broken.
Mm-hmm.
Like going to a service provider. Let's say you're a youth and you might need some help. Well, I'm going to go see my service provider so I can get some case. All these words, all this lingo is very, very damaging.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully listening is going to understand. I'm trying to say the service providers are really, really critical, but the community piece is absolutely lacking. I think to educate some of the listening audience, what's really astounding to me is, I'm going to say all the service providers, the way the standard contract is, if you volunteer somewhere, you can't literally work for that organization. I had approached an organization here in Chico that actually works with youth, who called me in the office and said, we'd love to have you as a volunteer, but if you're a volunteer, you can't have any contact with youth outside this building. And I'm like, well, that's a really bad idea. You know, that's a hugely missing component. I truly believe that. It's just someone that's out there in the community just being present for people and helping them any way, shape, manner that they can. And as I said, the Peace and Justice Center was just an amazing experience. Yeah, we did that June, July, August, September. We did it 5 straight months every night.
Mm.
Yeah, video games, and then, you know, some of the other things that are interesting is they would all kind of get together. They told me the whole rigmarole. You know, they're treated like criminals. So the cops go through, quote unquote, these particular sleeping areas at certain times. And the youth really are savvy. They're like, well, this is really cool. Youth for Justice goes till 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then all the police sweeps are done. So they would leave in caravans.
Right.
You know, it's just sad. I'm happy that they were able to connect that way. But they're all leaving in caravans of friendship, all bound around the fact they had no place to sleep.
Right.
So it really provided a place for these, you know, young people. Mm-hmm. Mostly... 18 to 24, although my favorite, and it's one of the clips. Maybe that's the cue for the clip. We have this clip from Olivia, a wonderful young lady here in Chico. But I was sitting on a bench with her doing an interview, just talking to her after an interview, actually. And I said, I said, you know what? I can really feel for you because I was homeless at 16. Mm-hmm. And she goes just like this. She goes, high five, dude. Me too. She went like that. She was 16 and homeless at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a wonderful, wonderful clip in here.
Well, let's play that clip.
Let's get that clip.
So we're going to talk a little bit about how the system's broke and what you did to fix it.
What I heard a lot in the foster care system was we don't have
I'm talking to a friend out here, and I was asking her, you know, I'd noticed that she cut, and I wanted to do a little piece, and I just wanted to get the pictures of the cuts. And then you had said, what did you say? If you could recreate that somehow.
Okay. I said something along the lines of, I think it's inappropriate to take a picture purely of just the cuts. I think it objectifies it. And I want, like, okay, if you're trying to do a piece on people who cut and trying to make people understand that, you want to, like, show that they're people. Like, I'm not this.
No.
I'm this, you know? I'm Olivia, and I happen to have some cuts on my arms. Like, if you're going to take... I told you not to do that without taking a picture of my face, because, like, I don't know, I'm a person.
Are scared people. This fear turns into...
So that was a piece with Olivia. If you're just tuning in, this is FM 90.1 KZFR. You're listening to Love in the 21st Century. I am talking with Guillermo Mash, and we were just listening to a piece by a young woman named Olivia.
Yeah, awesome story. You know, Olivia ended up coming back. She got reconnected with her family. She graduated from high school. What's kind of a neat little part of the story, Tamara, is she's the one that made the sign, the Youth for Justice sign.
Oh, wow.
And she was still, at that point, a homeless runaway here on the streets of Chico, and she made the Youth for Justice sign in the best of places out there in the Peace Garden at the Chico Peace and Justice Center.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just a little interview I did with her all the way back in, like, 2013 or 14 in the plaza.
Wow, amazing work that you've been doing with the youth and that you're continuing to do. And so it's really inspiring to, like you said, to go out there and to make contact and to practice acceptance and to just see people as they are. And I want to say, as a service provider, that, you know, no one is immune to the idea of judgment of others and or immune to the idea that we know what's going on with other people. And so, as I heard you describing a bit ago, Guillermo, about what it's like for youth going in to see service providers, and I mean, we could blanket that statement to say any individual, whether they are homeless, mentally ill, drug abused, or what have you, going into seeing a service provider feels judged. And because the nature of the game that you're going in there asking for some sort of help or assistance and how challenging that is. I mean, for a moment, let's take a pause and think about what that feels like to go in and say, I can't do it on my own. I need you to help me. And it's like, I think that the large majority of people don't really consider how much it takes to just get into the door, let alone to be asking for, you know, help finding housing, help finding a job, help getting food to eat because they haven't eaten in days. And so in consideration of this idea of accepting the other, of accepting people that are asking, practicing it as an individual, not just as a service provider, you know, but as a person in the world, how much we would have compassion. We would have space for each other if we just practice accepting the people to as they show up. And I say that as a service provider because I know that that's the reality, that we are all faced with that. And so service providers, though they're working with that population, we would hope and we would think that they would be a little bit more accepting. Not always the case. You know, we are all humans and we all have that in our mind that want to categorize and compartmentalize and want to understand things. And so it's not bad, but it's just don't stop there. That's, I think, the big part is not to stop there as though you know something now, but really to challenge yourself, to provide an opportunity to grow a little bit, to know somebody a little differently. And that's, I think, what we all really want.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to expand a little bit on all those wonderful points, those captivatingly wonderful wonderful points. Very first interview I did on the Without a Roof radio program, a dear friend of mine's name is Kyle Maxson, and it's something that's been repeated that I've seen when I start working and getting to know the youth more is there's this, and the word that pops to mind is there's a stigma, but if you're a homeless youth, even when I ran away, I didn't feel as if I was, beyond emotional and physical abuse, Tamara, I didn't feel I was respected for who I was.
Mm-hmm.
That people were just being present for me because they should be. And there's a lot. This one gentleman, Kyle, that I interviewed, he is a beautiful interview, but he said, you know, he talked about the different people that helped him, the service providers, but he felt like, and I think a lot of it had to do, we had a lot of talk, I've gone back to these service providers, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact they're told not to have contact with youth outside the building.
Right.
It creates a lot of dynamics that I think is a little bit unhealthy. So people are like, wow, it's almost like he didn't know me. But he had this visceral thing that it's like, oh, the only reason they did this is because they were getting paid.
Mm.
But what was cool about the story, I always like a story with a good ending or at least an ending, that somebody had reached out to him and literally, you know, one of these service providers had reached out and he knew it came out of that person's pocket.
Wow.
And it was a life change for him. It was an absolute life change for him. It was a pivot point for him where he said, wow, this person is physically doing something for me and they don't have to. It's not like they're on the clock. And that was a lot of feedback I got from all the people that helped at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. They were like, wow, you people are just doing this because you want to help us. And that's a really, really important dynamic for any age that you are. But I think it's extremely urgent. It's an urgency to it if you're a youth, you know, to validate that. So
beautiful. Thank you so much for adding that, Guillermo. We have, you know, a few more moments together. So I do want to let people know how they can get involved or how they can, you know, maybe be a part of supporting Youth for Justice. And so hopefully you can share that input there, and then we probably have time for just one more of your videos before we are going to be segueing to Ecotopia, which is coming up next. Ecotopia, Stephen and Susan Chudy, they're on every Tuesday from 6 to 7. They host Ecotopia, and they discuss environmental issues with nationally renowned authors and activists. EcoTalk, it's your local link to a global network of folks who know and care about the health of our planet.
Yeah, they're awesome. Youth for Justice, the best way to find us is we have a pretty good Facebook presence. You can find us on Facebook as Youth for Justice. It's Youth for Justice Chico, all one word. And I have a pretty prominent landing spot on my Without a Roof homepage, which is woaroof.tumblr.com. Or I always like to say, if you Google Without a Roof, we come right to the top. So you'll be able to find us and click through from there. But what's really nice about this closing piece, which I think is going to bring us right to the end, and is it's the same person that started with the song to the bass, the spoken word to the bass. But it's Courtney Burns up in Arcata. I came all the way up there to – it's important. I don't know if people – it's been really fun doing the journalism to kind of help and give space and give people a voice. But Gerard Ungerman said this at the altar at the carries in the new story. He said it's given him a piece and a way to listen more, because as a journalist you're there to get the story, you're there to listen to the person. So this was one of those interviews that I went up and did up in Arcata that I really felt that it was important. It was really important for her. She was a really big deal for her to get this, you know, off her mind, off her chest. And this is Gork Courtney Burns here on People Power Radio.
Yes, and thank you so much, Guillermo, for being on the show here. And we will have you on in the future, I'm sure.
You're coming on my show in January. I didn't do that Ford promo. We're going to talk about the wonderful work you do with traumatic brain injury and beyond.
Awesome. So thanks again. Stay tuned for Ecotopia. And, of course, stay tuned for this amazing piece with Gork Burns.
About how the system's broken, what you would do to fix it.
What I heard a lot in the foster care system was, we don't have the resources. And two, I heard a lot of people, I just don't have the training to be able to help you. And to me, that just was a little mind-blowing, because it's like, you don't have to be a licensed therapist in order to listen to someone, in order to sit with someone while they're experiencing emotions. You don't have to be a therapist to know that it's harmful to judge someone who's having a really hard time and to meet them with criticism instead of love and affection. My experience with the foster care and behavioral health system has not hardened me. It has not broken me. If anything, I learned what I don't want to be. I learned that I want to show love and affection and empathy. I want to give people the space to express themselves, even if it is slightly uncomfortable for me, even if I have quote-unquote better things to do. To me, there is no better thing to do than to sit with and validate another human's experience. And that's how I'll continue to live my life. I host a human expression open mic night. Every week I give people 3 hours of space to get up on a mic and express themselves, no matter what that looks or sounds like. And, you know, they're going to be met with appreciation and with acceptance.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by A1 Brake and Alignment Specialists with over 20 years of experience in automotive care. A1 Brake and Alignment Services, all makes and models of cars, trucks, and off-road vehicles, and all forms of automotive maintenance and repair, including air conditioning. A1 Brake and Alignment is located at 824 Norton Avenue and can be reached at 894-1149.
Hey guys, Will Durst here with a few choice words about the pitfalls of returning home for Thanksgiving. And no, we're not talking about possible stomach spasms associated with tryptophan poisoning from overdoing the turkey or Anhugula's Dupamush. This is more about the turmoil that may or may not result from mingling with family members that voted for a different presidential candidate. It is said that people felt sort of passionate about this past election. It is also rumored that the Pacific Ocean is moist, and the chances that your family will let this one go are about the same as a case of 16-pound sledgehammers thrown through a greenhouse in the dead of winter in Minnesota is good for the broccoli. First thing to remember, lock up all the liquor. Intoxication and politics go together like gravel and juice blenders. Invest in a Wi-Fi jammer. Lose the remote. No Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, or even QVC, except for football. This time around, even the Dallas Cowboys are your friend. And if cornered about your presidential choice, here's a few helpful hints on how to avoid inconvenient revelations. Election? What election? There was an election? How many times do I have to tell you, we residents of the planet Andromeda are not allowed to interfere in earthly matters? I voted for Ferris Bueller. To me, there is now, and always has been, only one president, Richard Milhouse Nixon, or Ronald Wilson Reagan, or Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Pick the appropriate president for your particular situation, Alfred E. Newman. As soon as the question is asked, stare off into the middle distance and begin to drool heavily. How about them Niners? Or Colts? Or Packers? Cardinals? Roll Tide? Whatever works. And finally, if all else fails, giggle like they said erection and keep giggling and pointing, muttering, erection, erection, erection. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst. Erection.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia, looking at biting the hands that feed us.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, or leave me the birds and the bees. Please, don't it always seem to go?